My farm down to hers, it must have been like it would be 7 miles into McGee at least, and then 7 miles to your place. So it would be around 20 miles. Oh. I'd have to travel on that horse.
On a horse? And were you bareback?
Yeah.
Wow, you must have been good.
Couldn't afford a saddle. Couldn't afford a saddle.
Oh, isn't that something, hey?
But anyway, it was nice. I got down once or twice and to see her. All the rest were gone then. Like Jim was out working. I think Jim finally ran the farm too, didn't he?
At one point he did, yes.
Yeah, Jim died so many years ago.
Yeah, it's just before my mom. I think he died, in 2000, I think. Yeah, that's 14 years ago. Long time. Now, did your family also live on a farm? You said you lived in the valley. What did your father farm?
What do you mean, in acreage?
Yeah, in acreage.
I know he had one, the home quarter, and then we had pastures. I don't know how many acres was in it, because we used to raise cattle, pigs, chickens, like, everything for food. And then we put in a big garden, and then Mom would can it.
Nice.
And that went downstairs into the cellar, because there wasn't such a thing as fridges and stuff like that to keep stuff cool. When we did the chickens, we did them in the fall, and you froze them out in the rain barrel. And that was your chickens. And the beef, you canned, and you put it in jars. And you boiled it for about 2 or 3 hours, I forget, And you also did chickens that way. And the pork, we more or less kept froze, sort of like the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we only kept 2 pigs. But, I mean, they were our meat,
Right.
We never went hungry, thank God. Don't know how the young of today do it. I really don't.
Yeah, well, you had to do a lot of planning because you really had to get all that canning and everything done before the winter set in.
Yes, we had to, you sowed the garden in the spring and brought it in the fall,
So after having worked so hard and having gotten all that preparation for the winter done, what was it like to get snowed in for the winter?
Well, you might get out once a month to go to church at Herschel. And of course, you went by sleigh and horses. Mm-hmm. We never had such a thing as a car. And, we'd go to, R.L. Smith. We'd sell eggs for groceries. And we'd get our wheat done at the mills. And we'd get flour that way to make bread.
Mm-hmm.
We never knew what boughten bread was like until the later years.
Isn't that funny? Because homemade bread is way better.
Oh, well, I agree, but I mean...
it's a lot of work.
Well, Mom, she came right from England. Imagine where she was used to power and everything. There was no power at the old house.
Mm-hmm.
We never did have power.
Really? So when did you first experience a car?
I guess when I came in to work. Dad died in 1946. And I had to help run the farm with George, my brother, and my sister Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, in the winter, Mom used to move into Rosetown because George had to go out and work to, to keep even going, just like your Jim did.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't like today at all. But anyway, I started to work in the cafes. And then in the 1940, Dad died in 1946, so I quit school then. So I went to school in 1944 and 1945 at the convent. Then, as I said, I moved into town in the winter because Mom used to rent a room from somebody. The last one I remember that she had was, what was their name? They were a grand old couple. Anyway, she'd rent a room, and then I worked in the cafes for a while. I didn't like it, so I went to the hospital, and I was a floater, which means you can do anything. If they need you in the kitchen, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't like today up at the hospital. if they needed you on home, like on cleaning floors and things like that, you were there. You were just a floater.
Yes.
And, yeah, and then Kellett, no, not Kellett, Ganton, she asked me if I'd keep cooking, so I did. But I didn't like cooking either. I'd rather just clean the floors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her, no, I'd cook it for a month, but because the other lady had died, the cook, so, like, somebody had to take over. And so I got along there okay for a little while.
You must have been 16, 18?
I was 17 when Dad died.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
So I was 18 when I came into town, I guess.
So when you were in town, you must have had electricity, did you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay, so...
So I lived, like as I said, I only worked at the cafes for a little while, and then I went to the hospital and... like there was the old residence, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They don't that was all knocked down a long time ago, the old hospital and the res. But we used to stay in res. There was RNs and all the workers from the hospital. And over there was a well, I don't know what you would call her, but she was she looked after the residents. Like we had to keep our own room cleaned. And sometimes we had to share with somebody. I shared with the Poutres girls.
What was it like for you to go from living on a small farm with no electricity to living in a more populated town that had all those conveniences of technology? Did you miss the farm?
No, no.
Did you like the technology?
Yes, I did, yeah. I was pretty raw, to tell you the truth. You know, right, what they say in the backwoods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, you liked the technology, you liked...
And also, I liked the people, you know, around. Yes, like people to have fun with everything, because mostly they were all young those years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see, there isn't such a thing as a resident here now. I don't know where the girls, I guess they just room out. But there isn't such a thing as a res. It's all changed into offices now. And just lately, we've got a new old folks home, and it's at the back of the hospital. And they closed the nursing wing and the lodge. All these people are into the new, there's a name for it, too. It's something Rose, that they call it, but I forget just right. It beds 54 people, men and women, of course.
Yeah. When you would have moved into town, of course, you didn't have television, but you had radio. Did you have radio on the farm?
Oh, yes. Dad had an old Atwater Kent, I think it was named.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even hear of it today.
No.
Either RCA or one of those, no.
But back then, I would assume it would have been your source of news, but was it also entertainment for you?
Oh, yeah. Of course, they held more dances, like barn dances, and there was always pickup orchestras.
Oh, tell me about the barn dances. I want to hear about the barn dances.
Oh, there was they had the Sampson Orchestra, and who else was there? The Brooks Orchestra. Like, all these orchestras used to play at these barn dances. They were very good.
And whose barns would you go to?
Oh, anywhere. Like, there was a guy at the hospital. He'd been there for years. He was Hilda Brooks' brother, and he was in maintenance. And he used to drive Florence McDonald and I to, to Elrose, Dinsmore, you know, around. And then they always had these other dances in Rosetown, like New Year's and, you know, the special things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How fun. When you would go to the barn dances, what did they do with the cattle and the livestock?
Oh, the barns were empty by that time.
Oh, they were empty. Well, the cows would dance, too.
Hey?
The cows would dance. Oh, well, that's neat. So what's your view on today's technology? Like, do you have the internet at home?
My son does.
Your son does?
Yeah, you met him.
Yeah, Keith, right?
Yeah.
Was there ever a time where you felt overwhelmed by the technology going, whoa, this is way too much?
No.
No? Okay.
I'll take whatever they hand me. I'm, like, with my TV now, I've got one of those, I don't know what they call them. But anyway, you know.
To get all the channels, you mean?
It's not the...
It's not an antenna.
No.
Is it a satellite?
It's up on the, you know, it's above the TV.
Is it a VCR or DVD player?
Well, I got a CD player, too. Yeah. But this is a different one. It's, I don't know what it's actually called. You know, you can get quite a few stations.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like it's called cable.
Yeah, it is cable.
It's cable. It sounds to me like you are one person who is really ready for progress of technology.
Well, yes.
Because you sound very happy.
I'm getting over the age right now, though.
You sound very happy about it all. Well, yeah.
Well, as long as I can keep going and stay in my own house and stuff.
Yeah.
I hate to admit if I ever have to go to one of the services because I worked so damn many years, 24 years in that nursing wing.
Mm.
And after elderly people. When I was in the hospital for a month with my diabetes, I said to that doctor and said to one of the nurses, he said, she used to look after all the people in the nursing wing. I said, yes, doctor. So now I'm the old lady.
Yeah, I totally understand. You know, you want to be in your home. Everybody wants to be in their home.
Oh, I know, yeah. But, of course, if your mind goes, my sister has Alzheimer's, and she's 91 going on 92. She was good till about 3 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
She isn't the same person.
No, things would really change.
It's just a shell there.
Aw,
you
know,
it's
hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
Was she a little sister or a big sister?
Yeah, it's a big sister. She's she's in a home in North Battleford.
Mm-hmm.
Like she married somebody from up there, Glassland.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to see her about 3 or 4 times a year.
Oh, nice. That's really nice. Well, I know that when I visited with you and your family, I guess it's 5 years ago, it was just really nice to see Rosetown and to hear all the stories from you.
And that brings us to the conclusion of my interview with Yvonne Clark, originally of McGee, Saskatchewan. Yvonne, as I noted in my interview with her, Yvonne went to school with my mother in Saskatoon. They went to, back in those days, they went to their home schools up until grade 8, and one-room schoolhouse. And then Yvonne and my mother went to the Catholic convent in Rosetown, which was, by car, it's a 20-minute drive. But by horse and buggy, well, you know, it's half a day, depending on the horse. Anyways, they kept in touch for many years, and I met Yvonne through the years, and I visited her in 2009. And sadly, Yvonne passed away in 2015. But I did have this interview with her in 2013, which is such a beautiful keepsake and such fond memories of her. And so that was Yvonne. Originally, her maiden name was Savage. Her married name was Clark, Yvonne. Lovely, beautiful, beautiful woman. So now I've got a tune that makes me think of when I visited my mom's old cabin on the farm, her little house on the prairie. And this is a song that was originally recorded by Tom Jones in, so many people have recorded it. He recorded it in the 60s. Elvis Presley recorded it in 1975. And I have that version for you here. So here it is now. Elvis Presley and Green Green Grass of Home.
The old hometown looked the same as I stepped down from the train. And there to meet me is my mama and my papa. Down the road I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold like cherries, good to touch the green, green grass of home. green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. And there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. The green, green grass of home. Yes, and they'll all come to meet me. Arms reaching, smiling sweetly. Oh, it's good to touch the green. Surround me, and I realize I was only dreaming. Well, there's a garden, there's a sad old park. Arm in arm, we walk at daybreak again. I'll touch the green, green grass of home. The green, green grass of home.
So now this brings us to the Story Corner portion of tonight's show. And this particular radio tale is it's based on a road trip that my family did when I was 12 years old. Radio tale number 8. Pardon me if I'm sentimental. As my family drove across the prairies that hot summer, those humid days, those humid nights, we drove across the miles, across the land, with dirt blowing in my face and bugs in the windshield. Music filled the air. As my family made that 4-day trek across lonesome highways and through the Rocky Mountains, beside Lake Louise, and through Radium Hot Springs, we settled in for the night, and the music of the airwaves came along for the ride.
Men said by my side, if you love me, do not hasten to bid me adieu. Just remember that Red River Valley and the cowboy that loved you so true. Tell me, my dear, that you're going. I will miss your bright eyes and your smile. For with you, you are taking the sunshine that has brightened my life for a while. So come sit by my side if you love me. Do not hasten to bid me adieu.
remember that Red River Valley and that cowboy that loved you so true.
In my family car that summer, we had Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton, Stompin' Tom O'Connor, Helen Reddy, and Delta Dawn. We had a little bit of country and a little bit of rock and roll. And we had Dad's favorite, Hank Snow, to lead us down that long, lonesome highway. We even had a little Jackson Brown and the Lodo. Much like Hank Williams, Hank Snow was a mainstay in my family home growing up, and he was one of the singers in my family's car that summer. To this day, Hank Snow remains nostalgic to me, a country singer who can transport me back in time to conjure up fond memories of that prairie summer of my youth, of that summer so long ago. I wonder if Hank Snow has fond memories too.
Pardon me if I'm sentimental. Say goodbye. Don't be angry with me.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Arts Edge. This has been Annie Roach, and you've been listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Mountain. You've been listening to my interview with Yvonne Clark, Nee Savage, of Rosetown, Saskatchewan. Stay tuned for The Jambalaya Show coming up next with Emily. And now I leave you with one final tune. This is a song that was originally recorded by Loretta Lynn in 1966, and the version I have for you tonight is off Loretta Lynn's definitive collection that came out in 2005. Here we go with You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
You've come to tell me something. You underage and feeling shut out of the Vancouver music scene by myriads of 19-plus music venues? Ever wish someone would start an all-ages venue in Vancouver where you could listen to awesome live music without having to convince your parents that East Hastings isn't as bad as it's cracked up to be? Well, the Safe Amplification Site Society, or SafeAmp, is a not-for-profit organization dedicated to do exactly that. Through public and private donations, as well as through public fundraisers, SafeAmp hopes to raise enough money to establish a permanent, all-ages, self-sustaining space for music and other arts events in Vancouver. The venue will be an alcohol and drug-free environment and will be available to all members of the society to organize any kind of cultural event free of charge. To learn more or become a member of the Safe Amplification Site Society, go to www.safeamp.org or look for them on your social network of choice. That's www.safeamp.org. Let's open the doors to good music for youth in Vancouver.
Creative Mornings is a free and monthly breakfast lecture series about creativity for the community. With chapters in nearly 130 cities across the globe, Vancouver was the first in Canada and eighth in the world to host conversations with the region's best and brightest creative professionals. Each event is free of charge and includes a 20-minute talk, followed by a group discussion and Q&A. Check us out at www.creativemornings.com.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing
CJSF